Hey everyone, my online course on the rehabilitation of the fitness athlete with Dan Pope is on sale this week. If you want to work with higher level fitness athletes and help people get back into the gym after an injury, this is the course for you. Head to MikeReynolds.com/fitathlete to learn more and sign up this week.
On this episode of the Ask Mike Reynolds Show, we talk about scapular winging with a stiff shoulder. We talk about the life of an athletic trainer, and we talk about low back pain in the morning.
The Ask Mike Reynolds Show. Helping people feel better, move better, and perform better.
Welcome back, everybody, to the latest episode of the Ask Mike Reynolds Show. We are here up at Champion PT and Performance up in Boston. I'm getting good at that, right?
Good intro.
I feel like I say the exact same thing every time. We need to work on that. I'm here with Dave Tilley today. Dan Pope is on his way. He's actually working right now, so he's working on a client of his right now, but he'll be in probably in a few seconds. And unfortunately, Lenny Macrina is out sick today.
A little sickness.
Yeah, we got, you know, that New England kind of fever, head cold here thing.
Dated, but a lot of
We'll see. But yeah, so Lenny's out sick, so we're going to miss him this episode.
You,
yeah, we miss you already. But we're here. We have two awesome students now. So you guys met Skid in the past.
Skittles.
Now. We settled on a nickname. It took us a little bit, but
yeah.
Like Skid's working.
Skid was working, but I think the new one's better.
Yeah, let's keep it at Skid, though. Let's go Skid. I think Skid's the way to go, but let's... So we got Mike Scaduto, Skid, right?
Oh.
I mean, makes sense. Dan Pope shows up to work. Mm-hmm. Welcome there. Why did Alexa just turn on? Did I just turn on everybody's Alexa? Alexa, turn off the lights. And see if we turn off everybody. See if we turn off everybody's lights. I don't even know what Alexa just said, but anyway... Anyway, we're here. Mike Scaduto from Northeastern University. So, Scaduto, Skid. I mean, what on earth were we thinking in the past? I mean, that was a pretty clear one to me. So, let me turn that down.
Okay.
Good. Awesome. And then we have Keisha Heck.
Nailed
it. Did I say that right?
Wow.
Nailed it, right?
Wow.
We have yet to figure out a good nickname for Keisha. We're working on it. But she's from Regis University. Is it university? It's a university. I don't know the difference between a university and a college. But we're here. Dan, welcome to the show. Come into the camera view. Come into the camera view.
Guys, we're out the press today.
So, a little bit. Sit right in front of Dave.
But blacked out today.
Anyway, we got some awesome questions. Let's see. I don't know. His skid just started off. We don't have time.
All right. First question, Tiffany from Alabama. I have a patient that has status post rotator cuff repair and MUA and has an excessive scapular winging with shoulder motion in really all directions. I've tried stabilizing the scapula during passive range of motion, stretching pecs because they are tight, and strengthening the rhomboids. Any other ideas / suggestions for this patient?
All right, so we have a rotator cuff repair patient that had a manipulation under anesthesia. That's what MUA means, so manipulation, meaning they got tight. So not to get off track here, but that's why you don't wait 8 weeks to start therapy,
right.
But that's a whole nother conversation to answer that question. All right, so we had a rotator cuff repair that had a manipulation, and now they have scapular winging, and they can't get the scap to stop. So, I mean, I'll just briefly comment before you guys jump in, but, I mean, you can bang your head against the wall all day trying to do scapular exercises for winging. That winging is actually, I don't know if the word's good, but that's actually a compensation that the body's doing to try to increase elevation or arm movement, right? So, you know, you have scapulothoracic upward rotation, you have glenohumeral elevation, you put those two together, and you lift your arm up. So they don't have glenohumeral elevation, so their scap's winging. So the treatment isn't to focus on the scap, it's to get the glenohumeral joint looser.
Yeah, I mean, obviously it's a manipulation of anesthesia, like the capsules clearly indicated, like it didn't get all the motion back after surgeries, it's still a little stiff at end range, like I'd say maybe down and on the capsule at different parts of end range and see if maybe that last little bit of motion's not there, like you said, to get winging.
Yeah, find that part of the capsule that's probably tight there.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, just assess it first, make sure that's actually the case, you know. But yeah, you're probably just chasing after the wrong thing. Make sure that you work on the right thing and probably have more success.
Right.
Capsule, soft tissue, clearly, like that person's had their arm by their side for how long? How probably like when's the last time they really got even close to their full elevation? All that soft tissue is probably pretty stiff from a couple months down my side.
And a post-operative stiff shoulder is not the weirdest thing in the world, right? So, it's probably joint and probably secondary soft tissue, but it's probably the two, like you said. Now it's probably both. So, don't just focus on one, hit them both. But again, I guess the synopsis is it's not the scap winging. That's
right.
The real issue.
That's the victim.
Correct. Yeah. Well said, Dave.
Victim, not
well
the problem.
Said, Dave. Dave Tilly in the house. Skid.
Right.
Oh, do
right.
We want to go back and forth? Do you want to, listen? We'll keep Skid all episode for you guys. Keep
coming. It'll show her how to get.
Yeah. Keisha is so nervous right now.
Brendan from Bloomington, Indiana. I'm currently a student at IU, majoring in athletic training. I was hoping to eventually become an AT or PT for a professional baseball team. Given your experience, I'm just wondering, would you rather work in a clinic as a PT/AT than work as a PT/AT for a professional team? How often were you home during the season? It seems like you would be gone all the time. Thank you.
So great question, right? So do you want to be, so if you want to get into professional sports as a PT/ATC, do you want to be the stay-at-home guy or do you want to travel with the team? I think you even questioning this tells me already that you probably want to stay home.
Yeah.
That being said, I mean, being an athletic trainer for a professional team that travels, it's a huge commitment, right? So, in my experience, I mean, we're on the road all the time. You're working 24/7, you're on the road. I mean, unfortunately, I hate to say it, but your family does kind of come second, So if you're 28 or something and you don't have a family, then that's probably not a big deal. But, theoretically, at some point, you have to, just figure out where your values are and what your priorities are and see what you do. I know a ton of people that are doing it and making it work and have great family lives and they're doing it, but there's definitely a sacrifice. I know you don't have specific experience, but I mean,
I think it kind of speaks to the bigger question about when you're approaching how do you become a good therapist and balance out your whole kind of life. It's it's always a trade-off. You can never have it all. So you got to think, if I'm going to work more and go into my professional development, I'm going to sacrifice, like you said, a little bit. If you want to spend more time with your newborn kid, you got to reevaluate your job status and all that stuff kind of goes into it. So it's always taking a step back. I mean, I write a lot of the stuff down, when you're kind of man, how do I spread my time thin? But trying to figure out where your priority is, not priorities, priority,
right?
Singular.
I mean, I thought about that a lot too. I mean, there's a big draw working with a professional team and wanting to do that. The other thing is it's pretty cool working with regular people, and I think it comes down to what you really enjoy. When I started working, I was working with a lot of regular people and just really grew to enjoy that a lot. And at this point, that's what I like. And great if I work with some super high level athletes, that's phenomenal. But I've just really grown to enjoy working for the average Joe. So.
And heck, we treat a ton of athletes here. You can treat a ton of athletes in your clinic, but also, I mean, we treat all of our clients like athletes, right? So all of our people want to get the most out of their body. So I mean, they are athletes. It's just at a different level. So
sure.
You could probably figure out just from mine. I mean, heck, 10 years ago, I used to travel, 2 weekends at least a month to teach seminars and speak at conferences. And now, I mean, you've probably picked up on it. I'm mostly online now, right? Because I got so burnt out from travel that I wanted to shift gear. So you're starting to think the right questions. I will share just one other piece of advice before we move on to the last question, but I've probably already shared this on the podcast, but one of the most impactful things anyone ever told me in my career so far. So Dr. Brian Bosconi, UMass Medical, great guy. He's the minor league physician for the Red Sox. But when I interviewed for my job with the Red Sox, he kind of looked at me, and my interview was kind of weird, right? He kind of looked at me and said, what are you doing? Why are you interviewing for this job? And, it was a weird conversation, but he said this to me. He said, when it's all said and done, the only people that are going to remember what you've done with your life and your career is your family. So he said that to me. He said that on my interview to join the Red Sox.
Yeah.
So clearly I said, screw it. And, that really stuck with me. And I've told that story countless times over my career. It's a very impactful statement in there. And he's right. I mean, he's definitely right. I mean, your family's the one that, that does it. I don't know what we're doing, I mean, Keisha's not going to remember who I am in 10 years, right?
I'll remember.
10
years.
20 years. All right, Skid.
Okay, Max from Melbourne. Do you have any
tips? Now, where do you think that Melbourne is? I was wondering about this. Australia. It just said Australia. Melbourne. That could be Florida. Could be Australia.
Or like Melbourne.
Anyway, let's, what do we got?
Do you have any tips for treating clients who experience lower back pain in the mornings only?
All right, lower back pain in the mornings only. I get an easy answer. Sleep in. Right? What do you guys got on that one? So they have low back pain only in the morning.
Yeah, so there's obviously position of sleeping is a big one. You know, if someone's in a habit of maybe laying on their stomach and they have extension irritated back pain, like that's clearly going to contribute to it. I personally think a lot of times we feel the effects of the day before the following morning. I found that very commonly with athletes who don't feel pain when they're doing things. Like, no, I feel great when I'm working out. And then like 2 or 3 hours is a sore. They go to bed. They wake up 8 hours later and like, whoa, my back's super, super cranky.
So, they spent 8 hours in the same position or sort of.
So I think that sometimes taking a step back and saying, okay, what did you do the day before that was different? Was it volume, intensity, new exercises? Did you sit on a long car ride that you weren't aware of? So kind of like the day before.
Yeah. I agree with you. One of the things that I try to educate people on is that a lot of times people won't feel pain while they're doing an activity, but the next day. Mm. And a big point is that once you're in pain, it's kind of hard to get out of pain, but it's a little bit easier to figure out what's giving you pain and giving you irritation and just avoid that stuff or modify that so the next day you generally feel better. I would say you got to evaluate the patient, figure out what makes them feel better. And then when they wake up in the morning, give them something that makes them feel better. I know for my patients, a lot of times walking feels better, extension-based exercise feels better. Do your exercises first thing in the morning. Just do a few things that make you feel
great. Point. That's like a good Stu McGill point too, is like the discipline more inflated with water as you first start to feel stiffer in the first thing in the morning. So gentle exercise in the morning. Some people just like get up and go about their day.
Right.
A little bit of exercise goes a long way in the morning.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that. And, you know, and I wonder, too, if you do, like, a little mobility before bed, you know, get up and get moving in the morning, that type of thing. I mean, that's probably related to it, but you guys brought up good points about it's probably the ramifications from yesterday.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's not necessarily sleeping. I mean, who knows? Maybe they're sleeping on a cot. I mean, we don't know. Are they on a futon?
Sleeping in a headstand. Yeah,
I still stick to my first answer. Just sleep in.
On a cot, on a yacht.
Anyway, thanks so much, Skid. Nailed it. Keisha, you ready next week? She's ready. Awesome. Well, thanks, guys. We appreciate it so much. Go to MikeReinold.com, click on that podcast link, and ask us some awesome questions. I almost nailed it. Awesome questions. Anything you guys want to talk about, rehab, fitness, business, Dave's personal life, anything you want to talk about, we will nail it. And then please go to iTunes, rate and review this, and we will see you guys on the next episode.
Thanks so much for listening to the podcast. If you have a question you'd like us to answer, head to MikeReinold.com/podcast and fill out the form to submit your question. If you enjoyed this podcast, please subscribe, rate, and review us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcast. And please share this with your friends to help spread the word. It would really mean so much to us. Please check out all my online courses, articles, newsletter, and more at MikeReinold.com. There's always a ton of great perks for my newsletter subscribers. And be sure to check for my other podcast, the Sports Physical Therapy Podcast, where I go deep into topics and interview leaders within our field. See you on the next episode.